Welcome, everyone. You are listening to and perhaps watching Calling the Audible. I'm your host, Pease Delarise. I am without laundry, so FPF hoodie it is. Thank you, Rob Campana, for the free swag. I am joined by my co-host and lovely darling friend, Simon Dagen.
Hey, what's up?
And, of course, our producer, the Eagle at Master Control.
Neither lovely nor darling.
Correct. I was going to say unlovely, undarling. But then they realized that would make me look like I have a poor vocabulary. Also, if you want to feel like you have a poor vocabulary, play against Corey Greenway in Words with Friends. He will own your soul. There's
really?
Literally nothing I can do. Really? I haven't played my move in like 7 days because I'm terrified. I've never been terrified to play Slater since. He's ridiculous. He's either cheating or a genius. I like the guy, so I'm going to go genius. Or a cheating
maybe,
genius.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. Like a blueberry. It's both blue and a berry. So we're going to get through all of this week's actions as well as our typical rants. And we're also going to go... We have a bunch of new stuff actually this week. We're going to join Stefano Berardi, who watches more FPF than anyone. So he's as close to an FPF expert as we have.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he watches more than the three of us in this.
Yes, that's for sure.
He's a scorekeeper. He's at every game. And he watches multiple games at once. He's an excellent scorekeeper. Which is why he's able to do that. And so because of that, we're going to get his input on some of the games he saw this week, as well as ask him some other non-related questions, just because we'd like to see how people react when we ask them stupid shit.
Because also it's our show and I don't give a fuck what you do.
What we want. The other thing that we're going to get to today is a special segment from Simo.
What's up?
As you get to see and witness Simo at his most Simo. And my goal is that eventually we can get one of these segments sponsored. So if you know anybody with money to give us, look at how organized we're being. Check it out.
We know what we're doing. Give us money.
Before we started the show, we talked about BoJack Horseman. You have yet to see the season. Eagle, you've seen it, right?
Amazing.
I find it revolutionary television.
Yeah.
It started, for those who've never seen the show, it started as the life and times of the retired Bob Saget as a horse, reimagined as a horse. We're living in a world where animals are anthropomorphic and are simultaneously seen as food and friends. It's interesting to the point where this season, there's a family of pigs who kept staring over as the people at the other next table were eating pork. funny. But what they did this season was really introspective as to Hollywood and considered a lot of the angles in sort of the Me Too movement, and there's so many aspects that were going on with it, and they dealt with mental illness and loneliness and a lot of very interesting themes.
IGN wrote an article about how this is one of the very few either television shows or movies that actually covers mental illness properly, because there was like To the Bone, there were 13 Reasons Why, all the other stuff, but everyone kind of feels like it wasn't done properly, if that makes sense, where it kind of glorifies it or makes it into a drama.
I don't think 13 Reasons Why I did that. I just think it sucked.
Fair.
13 Reasons Why I Won't Watch Your Second Season was your first season.
So it's not bad, but I agree with Eagle. Where
really? Hey, she didn't give me a pencil. Here's a tape. So go ahead.
So basically, yeah, they were saying that they managed to make it relatable to the average person because it's a cartoon or the animals, so you don't kind of feel the guilt of the characters as you would for actually seeing real people, and so you can actually relate to them more.
I felt so guilty for everything.
Right, but it's not uncomfortable to watch. Like, if you watch people suffering, you kind of feel bad about it, whereas here you can kind of play it off, but you still understand
it. One of the themes specifically, and then we'll get into FPF, one of the themes specifically that I never thought of, and I like to think of myself as a thoughtful person. I lean no way politically. I'm a complete anarchist.
It's not true, but go on.
It's entirely true.
It's not true, but go on.
The thing is that I especially when it comes to situations that affect people whose life experience I don't understand, so minorities, women, I always say, I won't listen to them because I can't possibly understand them. And it was one thing, and one of the characters said, where there was a situation where she was assaulted on set. And then she says, and the character said, the other character who did it says, oh, I'm going to come clean during this interview. People need to know I'm a bad guy and it's whatever. And she tells him not to because she can't let her career boil down to him being the most important thing that ever happened to her. And I was like, shit, that's heavy, man. Like, I never thought of it from that angle.
I've heard that before, and I don't remember. Well,
that's a life experience we'll never understand.
Of course not. Like, because we'll never be put in that position also. We'll never be put in a decision where...
There's times I want to choke you.
Yes,
but... Which may happen this episode.
But that's very different.
Yeah.
Because it won't define our careers.
Correct. Well, what's being defined, perhaps, is Heathport Lockstar's season. As they continue to upwardly spiral into potentially eventual failure.
Okay, so is Keyport Lockstars the best team in Tier 1 at the moment? So if we do a triangle...
Are they playing the best?
Braves beat Kevin Wyatt's team.
Oh, so Transitive Property.
They beat Braves. So technically, they're at the top of the pyramid now. If it's King of the Hill, they beat the King. So they should be at the top of the hill.
Okay.
So the question is, are they the best team in Tier 1? Or the team to beat in Tier 1?
I mean, I'm sure now they have a giant target on their back, so I feel bad for when they play FPF All-Stars because I don't think the game will go quite the way it went against the Braves.
Well,
but look, they've surprised us.
Also depends how they decide to play it. Mm-hmm. When they played the Braves, they had Ramesh to play quarterback, right?
Well, but that's...
Because Jeff wasn't there.
Yeah.
But if they play... When they play FPF All-Stars, maybe they'll also make that switch considering how the game's going to play out.
What I will say, in the weekly Your F'd update... From Heathport Lockstars, as we continuously discuss how screwed they are for the next round.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, they are the Urgence Medique of this season, I believe, right? Like,
Pretty much.
How many more games do you think they need to win to end up in the top four?
Well, honestly, it's an 8-game season, right? Like we've discussed, it's not a 3-then-5 games round anymore. We didn't split it that way. So it's a full 8 games. If they do lose out the next 5, there's a chance they'll be like 6th or 7, like 5, 5th or 6th.
I don't think they will, because here's the thing. So what Jeff Rosenblatt's done is not be terrible. And he's gotten increasingly good at that over the seasons. And the defense is very, very good.
Well, he plays a slow-paced offense that doesn't give the other team a lot of drives. Yeah. So all he does is, as long as I score on every driver, guys, how many plays it takes and how slow it is, if we score and I don't throw any interceptions, not a lot of turnovers, we play the my defense is going to get a stop. They won't stop me. We will win 26-19.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible to watch.
So, but the thing is, when they're playing against top-tier teams, mm-hmm. like... Can top tier teams sort of mitigate that by saying, you know what, we're going to man up across the board and force you to make throws at
Taekwondo's? Well, that's what we're going to see this season in the Fall Cup is when he plays against almost Division One teams, what is he going to do? Is he still going to be able to run his simple-ish offense, be able to take a lot of time off the clock? And the other team won't score in one play because the way Keyboard Lockstars plays defense, they won't allow those big plays. They know
exactly.
The game relies on our slow-paced offense. We're not going to just throw it away. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if he's still able to do it. I think Jeff Rosenblatt's going to be able to score on any team at least 2 or 3 times. I don't think he's going to put up 60 points on a team like Kevin Wyatt's, FPF All-Stars, but also I don't think they're going to shut him down to 0 points. I think he's going to be able to put up some. If they use a few trick plays and they use Rob Mastrobe as a potential second quarterback on certain plays, on trick plays, they could score more.
So for Dirty Dogs, Ryan Lilanowski, their team is 0-3, and he threw 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this game. Is it time to move to Derek Kastner permanently at quarterback?
Ryan Kastner,
my mistake. They look
was Ryan Kastner there this week?
He was not there this week. So we still don't know who's the quarterback.
So we're still in a no. In
but
a
the thing note. Is, like, traditionally, the quarterback of Dirty Dogs has been Ryan Lilanowski.
I think the team, this is built around Ryan Lilanowski and his running ability. Obviously, having Ryan Kastner as a quarterback and moving Ryan Lilanowski to receiver is an upgrade. You're bringing in one of the best quarterbacks in the league to play for your team. And Ryan Lilanowski is also a very strong receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So you're upgrading two positions at once. Now, is it really what they want to do? I think that maybe they just brought in Ryan because they know each other and they decided to, you know, they were missing guys and they needed bodies and he was available. We'll see as the week progresses. Of course, that upgrades the team, but that also changes the chemistry entirely.
You mentioned the running ability. Mm-hmm. Ryan Arrieta in this game with no hands, just straight wrists, got four wrist sacks.
I mean, it's true. We started the show last week saying he had no hands.
Slapped the flags off Ryan Lewandowski. Solid. With his wrist.
Interesting wrist decision.
Should quarterbacks, especially mobile quarterbacks, have a better plan when facing keeper lock stars? Like, I feel like we almost forgot about Ryan Arrieta in the past few seasons.
We do.
He became a Hall of Famer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was good once, but he's still good.
Right? Like, good job, Ryan. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Arrieta is a much better rusher when he plays against a mobile quarterback because he always takes the right angle at you, mm-hmm. and he's smart at running at rushing quarterbacks. He never goes all out. He's able to break down properly. If you're not a mobile quarterback, I personally never had problems playing against Ryan Arrieta, which is weird considering that I don't move
because
any
he's
fast.
Not, but he's not the fastest guy.
He it's also never goes 100%.
Like a lot of the rushers, I know in the past, for example, when we played against John Laristas. He's a guy who, other than hitting in the nuts.
thanks, John.
Didn't give you a ton of problems. Like for you, height and...
John's a very similar rusher where...
These aren't guys who are absolute speedsters.
He's going to cut you off.
Fast, and they take the perfect angle.
He's going to cut you off. You won't be able to run up to the sideline. And if you try to run on him, you sort of fall into his own trap, is what he's trying to do. I think that's the case of Ryan. And when he plays against a guy like Ryan Lenanowski or even quarterbacks like Christian Cernatola, which we see in winter and spring, that's where he succeeds the most. So in these sorts of games, this is playing up to Ryan. I don't think a mobile quarterback can really plan against that. It's something that my playbook is built around me running. I can't change my entire playbook for one game.
I mean, but you can.
You could, but...
That's literally what coaches do.
Yeah, but it's his FPF. People don't necessarily prep for games either. Mm-hmm. There's a chance the guy showed up not knowing who Ryan is.
Also true.
We have a bunch of love coming in from chat from your fiancé and your brother.
Nice. That's a nice day to be me.
Two fake lovers.
No.
It doesn't count as love if it's like related to you.
And one of the two wants to know if you're wearing pajamas.
What?
One of the two of them wants to know if you're wearing pajamas.
Actually, you have to guess which one is it. Which one is it?
It's clearly my brother. This is actually the Hawaiian top brought to you by Brad Evans.
Tell me, Santalia, that said that.
You guys don't wear flamingo t-shirts? I mean, come on, summertime.
I don't wear Hawaiian shirts. Sorry.
He replied with, guy, go get dressed.
I would if the other one who is listening and watching actually did the laundry, and I wasn't surprised when I got home. Shots fired, he's sleeping on the couch.
Your couch comfortable.
At least I had a couch to sleep on. If I were living in a trailer park, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. Trailer park boys without a couch to sleep on in this game, losing to Mac Doe in their first game, 18-15. I feel like Scott Rogowski from HQ, where he just says random things. Microphone, coffee, drinking, hot liquids, question numero duo.
MacDo
actually getting a chance to play their first game, won their first game by forfeit.
Still love the team name.
They win.
MacDo.
They win.
It's great.
Well,
good kudos to them. They won with only a handful of yards offensively.
I was going to say that. They only had 53 combined yards on offense. How much of this was good defense and how much of this was a battle between two new teams?
I think it's more the latter. It's a battle between two new teams. The offenses struggle. It's something you see in FPF. I saw MacDo practice last week in Saint Laurent. Listen, they were trying to run new plays. They're trying to sort of explain how patterns work and what to do here and what to do there. It's a very different game when you're playing in an FPF game than when you're on a practice field with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything looks easy in a practice field. And when you get to the games... Way the defense changes sometimes. Then why this guy's much better than I thought he would be. It's a different story. I think there's a lot that comes into it. It's your friend has a bad game. You know, there's so many possibilities. I'm happy to see that Magda was able to win 18-15. Right? 15 is impressive by Trailer Park Boys if those are the converts. If it's a safety, it's a bit less impressive because it could just be Magda bad snapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's converts, you're able to score 3 points out of two touchdowns. It's pretty impressive. MacDo still scored 3 touchdowns, won this game. I think it's a nice way to start your FPF career / season.
So
much better than forfeit.
I remember when teams used to first start in FPF, it was like a given. Oh, okay, it's the first season. They're going to get smacked around. They're going to go 0-10.
Yeah.
We see MacDo winning their first game. Do you find it's getting more and more frequent that teams are coming in with at least some level of understanding about flag football, some idea of what to run, some ideas of like how to play some form of defense.
I feel like there's so much information out there now between the games of the week, between these podcasts, the articles, us trying to explain to people certain things throughout all these mediums, that new teams could come into the league, make a little bit of research throughout, you know, the FPF. I wouldn't say encyclopedia, but if you just go through a Facebook wall, you're going to see a lot of games of the week, a lot of information, and you could sort of pick them apart and try to figure out what people do and not come in blind to new games.
You had a good transition for me there. I'm not going to use it yet. I'll use it later so it's going to feel out of place. But I did want to mention, I got a text from Alexandre Meunier before the game. He reached out asking a question I think could help a lot of new teams. So I do want to address it on the show for those watching. He asked...
Or listening.
Really? Or listening, yeah. Correct. You could be doing both things. If you're... You know what? You could be watching, you could be listening.
Cut you off guard there.
I don't know if you can put on subtitles yet. We're working on it. If you want to ruin your computer screen, you can listen to us and watch us in Braille.
In Braille?
Yeah. Just bump up your screen.
They actually did that for a soccer team recently where their jerseys, instead of writing their name, they wrote it in Braille, which really helps the blind people.
Who are up close and feeling the soccer players. Yeah. Yeah. Great show of solidarity.
Maybe somebody on the team was blind. So.
Alex Meunier asked me a question about subs.
Okay.
And he said, well, if I've already... played for another team, can I sub for another team? And so the rule about, so in there's other leagues where subbing doesn't count as a game played. In FPF, any game is a game. If you sub, you're considered to be on that team. In the FPF Cup, you can only play on one team regardless of tier. If you sub for another team without getting released, you will forfeit the second game, the second team you've played for. They will lose that game. The team will forfeit that loss, that game. And furthermore, if you get released from a team, you cannot get released a second time in the Fall Cup. There's some different rules with different divisions and other seasons, but we're just going to address the Fall Cup because that's the season we're playing
in. So in that example, you're playing for Team 1. Mm-hmm. You want to sub for Team 2. So in order to do that, you need to get released from Team 1. So you go play for Team 2, but now you're on Team 2, the roster. You can't go back to Team 1 because you can't get released the second time.
Yeah.
Okay. Just kind of making sure people understand the mechanics behind it.
So you mentioned Game of the Week.
Yes.
It's that was my transition. It was a great spot to move on to the hashtag NR Free Vinny game. The game of the hashtags. Sorry, my mistake. I shouldn't call them Free Vinny. Hashtag Free Vinny.
There's no, hashtag NR. Free Vinny.
Well,
didn't they lose their hashtag because they lost the bet?
It was so confusing as to what they were betting. It just seemed
Sean was so afraid.
It seemed, Sean has bad leadership.
Sean Abram. So afraid.
He has bad leadership skills, is what I'm saying.
Terrible.
He didn't believe in his team enough to bet, even though he was getting some pretty good odds.
Also didn't pay his bets. Never pays his own bets.
That's one of the reasons why he is the 10th best quarterback out of 9.
Yeah. See,
I should switch to wearing number 10, by the way.
Just right, number 10. Yeah. So my spread was 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty spot on considering the score. 8 points. Also, Sean, well, Candles decided 7.5 was amazing.
Yeah.
I got to give him some props. You won by 8 points. The spread was 7.5.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I feel like they beat the spread like, we're done scoring. We're done.
Get the ball. We're up by 8. Thank you.
So I will say, though, and like, it's this I feel... may or may not be the voice of a few people in the league, but I feel as though it's a game that could have been very interesting between two of the more interesting teams in the league.
Yep.
Lots of vocal players on both sides, lots of talent on both sides. Mm-hmm. Made boring by a conversation, by an argument between Lance Daniel, who does our Game of the Week, FPF employee. And part-time FPF employee. And
former FPF employee.
I like to go part-time because I don't think we've seen the last Terry.
Defender of the people.
Defender of the people, definitely.
Self-proclaimed.
The Terry Tan, who plays for the now unhashtagged Free Vinny. Eagle, if you can, go on the website and remove the hashtag.
I was going to say, I got to remove that. Yeah.
So, now, what I don't like about that is the fact that this became now a conversation where it may have interested lots of people. And lots of people are still going to watch the game because the game is still interesting.
Yes.
But the storyline is now about, I don't know, 12 people.
Not even.
And now I don't care.
Not even 12 people. It's about two guys.
Yeah, but just like their friends and associated people. Yeah, the Alex Hollowback storyline and you know, but after guys in, Terry and
yeah, but after guys in this game are not even like the ones that made the most impact in the game are not even relevant to the new story that they created.
I don't think Corey Pecker even knows.
No, but that's the thing. Like guys like Corey, even Sean, he knows.
Yeah.
But this game should be about Corey, Sean, you know, the guys that had the biggest impact in the game.
Yeah.
Up to an extent. Terry Tam as a player as well. Mm-hmm. Like you, we like to make fun of Terry. I love to make fun of Terry. I'm surprised the safety didn't come on. It was in playoffs, but I love the dude, and he's a good player. He's definitely underrated offensively. To be able to play in tier one, like the guy is not a scrub. Like he probably did some plays and had an impact in this game,
and especially on defense. Like a lot of people don't know his.
No, he's trash. Stop.
No, I disagree. He's a guy who has small contributions on defense and plays well within the role. And the thing is that I feel as though the talk before the game overshadows sort of the great play, by the way, between Corey Pecker and Sean Avram, really going score for score. I don't even know if I'll watch the game. Like, it's my job to watch the game. I have to.
Yeah.
Even if I don't want to, I have to watch it. I don't know if I'll do it. I'm going to ask you, Simon, how was it? Was there any issues?
But this is a great scoreline.
Yep, not going to watch it.
35. They scored on every convert.
If you're going to trash talk, make it interesting. Give me something. But have a real bet. Have real stakes.
You know what I mean? Like losing the hashtag.
Yeah, no. Like $100.
Seriously.
Put your balls on the table. Don't leave them at home, Sean Avram. But on the other side of it, too. Like, Lance, it's the same thing over and over. Come on. What is this?
Well, it could have been funny if you changed your name to, like, got beat by Terry.
Yeah. Well, anyway. We're going from talking about two FPF members, and we're going to talk to another FPF member.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
When we come back from this break, thank you for letting me go into break. No? That's how we did it last season. There's no break. So we're just going to call him live? Yeah. And I'm just going to stare at you and wait?
Yeah. Oh, we could talk productive. About something else.
You said chairs are expensive.
He's on the phone right now, by the way.
Oh, hi. Stefano?
No, it's not. That's such a lie.
Terrible job. If you're ever looking for a producer, don't hire Eagle.
No. Chapman.
Chapman, definitely.
Chapman.
The ghost of Chapman. I don't have him in my
hands. Yeah, man. Chairs are so expensive.
You guys don't hear him?
Yeah. No.
Chairs are so expensive.
Yeah, they're really expensive.
Why?
I'm also learning that patio furniture is bizarrely expensive.
Well, it's very similar to... No, we don't.
I hear...
Stefano, are you there? Stefano?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. Hey, Steph. How's it going, buddy?
There he is.
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad. Thanks for joining us tonight, man. We want to get some of your outlook on some of the games. And then I want to do so while we also interrupt you with questions about food, because we have two fat guys in the studio, fat guy on the phone. We want to do fat guys of FPF on food.
The fat boot.
Before we do that, can we introduce who this is?
Yeah. For those who don't know, and even though I did the introduction earlier in the show, when Eagle wasn't listening, Stefano Berardi, scorekeeper extraordinaire, he sees more FPF than any other human person. He knows more FPF than any other human person. He's the one, he's the only Stefano Berardi. Hi, Steph. Weird that I introduced you first time, not the second time, after I started talking to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Introduction was very friendly, though. I appreciate it.
If you have four words that can describe the level of trash that Eagle is, what would those words be?
Oh, wow.
The level of trash for what?
That Eagle is as a producer
or person. That
Eagle, well, for one, he got his soccer fact wrong.
Okay, soccer?
Was a baseball team.
One way?
Oh, it was a baseball team, actually.
Next thing?
Baltimore Orioles.
Well, they're basically
not a soccer team that had the Braille.
Yeah. It's okay. The Orioles are about as relevant as Braille, as soccer. Next thing?
I still find it was very useless for them to put Braille on jerseys, but then again, trying to speak for the blind people.
Okay, so that'll be the first one. And we'll do instead is... Instead of getting your second point, we're going to get into the first game you saw, STL tying Braves. Can you tell us a bit about this game?
Yeah, I could tell you that the Braves had the game in hand until they had their Eagles injured, because they were getting calls and a couple of their players got five plays. Mm-hmm. One of them was their starting quarterback, Jonathan Meagher. So that was in the second half of the game, which is why their offense wasn't as productive in the second half as it was in the first half.
We saw that they scored 22 points in the first half and only one score in the second half, only 8 points in the second half.
Yeah, well, see, after that, they had their two top players, in my opinion, which is Jonathan Meyer and Jos Gadiepé. They both had other plans to attend to, so that's why their offense in the second half wasn't there.
They left mid-game?
So, yeah, they left even before the game ended because they had to attend another game, according to one of their teammates.
But can you tell us more?
I'm not sure if it was football or hockey or soccer.
It was a sport.
It was another sport.
Okay, another sport.
It's another sport. Maybe baseball, maybe soccer.
The other way, it's boring.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be hockey. It might have been hockey. But
is it really more respectful than soccer?
With about 15 minutes left in the second half. So, I mean, that was a big difference. Then they put J.D. Chevalier in at quarterback, who he did well. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn the ball over and such, but they got to the other end of the field, but they weren't able to pass the goal line. Yeah. So that's why their offense wasn't as productive. And the STL took advantage of that and came out with the tie.
So given all these circumstances, also I find it interesting, they left before the game was over the same week that Vontae Davis retired at halftime as a member of the Buffalo Bills. Maybe they're retired from FBF? Maybe we won't see Jonathan Meyer and Jos Gadiepé. They just retired from FBF. Done.
Bounced.
They left him work.
I don't know if they retired from FBF. I'm not sure about that. I just know they were retired for the rest of the game.
They might
come out of retirement like other people will. Like Vontae Davis might come out of retirement if another team bothers giving him an offer, which is not going to be the case, which is why he retired. So, yeah, they'll probably come back. Wouldn't be surprised to come back.
The thing is, looking at that, looking at them in that situation where we saw Jean-Thémy come off the field, where we saw Jean-Thémy and Jean-Gadiepé leaving the game early, Steph, would you think that STL are the next team ready to move up to D1, or was this just a matter of circumstance?
They basically took advantage of the circumstances that were given to them. They took advantage of the different matchups that were working in the Braves' favor early on in the game. Mm-hmm. Once they changed the plan, they took advantage of that, and they got the better of the Braves in the second half.
One thing I've noticed about STL, we see Brett Callender got 3 PDs in this game. Now, is it just me, or did he get better since he kind of chunked up, since he like put on a little puts in weight?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the speed on his side, so he's able to compete with the deep bombs that the Braves usually go to for quick offensive strikes, and he has this act. As soon as he sees the receiver's hands are going up for the catch, he turns around and he bats it down or gets involved without getting a PI penalty. So I just feel like he knows how to play a deep ball well, and that's where his 3 PDs came in this game.
Brent Callender is playing deep ball? I'm shocked. Steph, Sunday night, what are you doing? Stop with
that. That was your transition. I asked about the chunky bread calendar. Food.
Putin.
Yeah, Brent
Steph,
calendar.
Sunday night.
That's what it was.
Wings or nachos?
You got the best of the deep guy.
I think we're late in this thing.
Yeah, there's a delay for sure.
Stefano.
Yeah.
Wings or nachos? Sunday night. Hello? Football. Pick one.
What about Sunday night football?
For life.
You're coming off choppy. You can't really understand what you're saying.
Speak in full sentences, please.
Stefano Berardi, if you only have to pick one food for the rest of all Sunday nights, wings or nachos?
You know what? I enjoy wings in the afternoon and nachos at night, so nachos is basically most of my... I put more cheese on the nachos, which makes it fatter. It makes it better. And, I enjoy nachos, but chicken wings come in handy in the mid-afternoon games.
Steph, what's the second thing that makes Eagle trash?
The second thing that makes Eagle trash is the fact that he is somehow delayed on the broadcast because before I received the call, I was watching you guys and I did not get any indication that the call was coming up.
I
was not expecting that whatsoever. So I don't know what it was, but yeah, come on, Eagle. You got to do better. You
made
like
a blind, a blind gesture that no one could see except me that we're going to a call. So I'm like, and we're going to a call and it's break time. He's like, no break. Okay, no break. We're just going to a call. Let's just stare at Eagle while he figures this out. Rosas beat Les Amateurs de Sac. William Plante to Thomas Plante, 9 catches for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. Is this the next upcoming pair of brothers in the league?
Which ones?
William Plant to Thomas Plant from Rosas. From Rosas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were able to connect a lot. William Plant was a quarterback, and he seems to find his brother, and his brother turns these short routes mm-hmm. into longer plays with his ability to make a defender miss, and mm-hmm. That's how most of his yardage. But they have this connection that just it comes easy to them, and it was easy for them to find each other.
Is having a favorite target sustainable in FPF, do you think? Like having a guy that you know you can go to 9 or 10 times, or do you think it's something that teams can scheme against?
So always going to the same target could backfire if the defense adjusts to that, but that's only if they stick to the same route. But these two guys, they were always connecting on different routes, and the defense wasn't sure which way what the receiving plant was going to go when it came to the offensive strikes.
Stefano, the two of the things I love about you are the blunts that you smoke and how blunt you are. So can you tell us about how you would describe the amateur de sac offense?
The which offense?
The amateur de sac. Sack lovers.
The amateur, the sack offense, honestly, it needs work. I mean, it's hard to watch. I'm not going to lie. It is hard to watch, but they are able to put some points on the board, but they got to make it more natural. It seems like most of the plays are fluke and get lucky bounces, or they're basically short passes that the quarterback could get his receiver to catch easily, and then a bunch of missed tackles. So if they find a way to make it more natural, they'll be in a better spot.
So hard to watch, unnatural, fluke. That's pretty good.
Stefano.
Exactly. It's a bit of everything, you know. Kind of unpredictable. But, it's unpredictable in a bad way, unfortunately. but they got to clean it up a bit, and if they do, they'll be fine.
Stefano, I feel like there's a lot of anger right now, so I'll let you express all that. Tell me the worst restaurant you've ever been to. And why.
Which restaurant? What?
The worst restaurant you've been to and why.
Okay. In terms of health or just the food?
For you. Choose.
the food, I don't know. The worst restaurant I've been to, considering I don't go to many restaurants because I am not rich and I prefer eating my grandmother's cooking. So I would say McDonald's, worst food. And it's because it's fake. And if it's just the burgers taste like cardboard at sometimes. But once you're high, you know, it feels good. It tastes good. So there's not much of a problem with that one.
So lucky guys never had food poisoning, man. It's pretty good.
We do have
and coupons,
a question.
They're good too.
We have a question coming in from chat for you, Stefano. Pancetta or bacon?
That depends. Could I afford pancetta? Because then I'd go with pancetta.
Let's say
yes.
Let's say
you have a stick with bacon.
Let's say you have a normal person's bank account.
Then a normal person's bank account?
Yeah.
I'd probably go with bacon, but like a sophisticated person's bank account, I'd go with pancetta.
Okay, so you have an Eagles bank account is pancetta. That makes sense.
Yeah, because the Eagles very sophisticated, and pancetta is the way to go. But in the end, it feels like it is the same, but it's not because it's eaten differently. Like, I eat bacon fried, and I just have pancetta in the sandwich, which is like a cold cut. But, pancetta is better than bacon, but I can't afford it, so I'm going to stick with bacon.
I love that, man. I love you, dude. One thing I did not love was Eagle's performance on this podcast. What's the third reason he's trash?
Well, he feels like he's a better cheerleader on the sidelines, and he thinks that he makes plays for his team when he doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that makes him kind of trash, but he thinks he's better than he actually is.
One place for Eagle was missed perhaps was in the Pigeon Squad must be power game. Pigeon Squad won 25-6. We in terms of must be power didn't play well at all. Ryan Vanstlet is an addition to Pigeon Squad. What do you think he brings to that team?
Well, he brings a certain level of mid-range receiver because that's Jared Buck. He enjoys going mid-range. He doesn't like going.
Sorry, Eagle, I didn't hear you.
It doesn't matter. So considering how terrible one speed power has been, do you think they should revert to Pease at quarterback?
Do I think that OSP would be better at quarterback? Probably with Pease. No.
I don't
think
so.
It's just that Mike Adonis is a good quarterback. He's just sometimes, I don't know what it was about this game that he got a bit frustrated. And it showed in the plays he was making because he knows that he missed some open receivers and he was mad at himself and he forced the ball when they were down. So if he just like maintains like a calm presence, he'll be better off than Pease at quarterback.
Do you think that his playbook that he brings to the team doesn't fit the receivers or players on that
it's
team?
It's the same playbook.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't execute it as well.
Well, what I will say, being in the huddle with Mike, being on the team, is that the vocabulary is a little bit different, so guys don't always run the routes exactly as he expresses them. Whereas, even though I'm calling the same play, the vocabulary we use is a little bit different. And that's been interesting to learn. Like, oh, I'm not calling it the same thing.
Do you have an example?
So, like, we have a play where it's a stick concept on one side, so fly, quick out, bubble hook from the snapper. Mike calls it an out to the snapper, and the snapper's supposed to know that you're just hooking after 3 yards.
Oh.
Which I've played in the system, so I know where to stop. And I played quarterback in the system, so I know where to stop. But when Jean was snapping, he didn't know.
He keeps going.
And then I called it, because it's a rounded in over the top at 12 yards. So I call that a banana in, just 12-yard banana.
Okay.
Because it looks like a banana.
Fair.
But Mike says bubble, 12-yard bubble. So what we call a bubble a hook, right?
Yeah.
So,
a bubble hook.
But so there was an interception where Joseph James, who's played with me, wants to run a banana, but instead ran what he thought was a bubble hook. So at 12 yards, he just slightly hooked inside, and then Mike led him, even though he wasn't running, and went straight to the chest of a safety 10 yards behind the route.
I've had that happen on defense where my low is someone else's high. So
yeah. So there's some growing pains, even though it's the same system. It's a bit of execution. He doesn't have the same kind of athletes he's used to. On top of that, there's a bit of a learning curve with how the guys understand his application of the offense.
Fourth reason why Eagle is trash. Steph.
Another reason why Eagle is trash. Because he feels all important because he's a computer genius.
Well, let's not go genius. He's a computer
guy.
Knower of a few things.
Self-proclaimed computer genius.
Self-proclaimed. The Trojans took on Teen Stars this game. Something odd happened though at the start. I took a look at the stats. It looked as though there was only 7 offensive plays, 4 Teen Stars, and I was like, Steph, you were the scorekeeper. The fuck.
That's because there was only 7 offensive plays for Team Stars, considering that they showed up with 5 guys 30 seconds before the first half was over.
Oh, so all just right. Before
so,
forfeit.
So, okay. Two, but
so basically,
forfeit.
They came in, they got 1 playoff, they got a touchdown, then 5 plays where the Trojans had the ball for 5 plays, and then the Trojans started in the second half with the ball as well. Mm-hmm. So more or less, they didn't really have much time with the ball, because when they did, it didn't take them many plays to get those 2 touchdowns that Ness threw.
So would you
say that's why it looks like I have some kind of idiotic perspective, or like I wasn't there, or like I didn't do my job. But
Does that mean that Trojans would have tied that game 16-16 then?
Exactly, because they were up 24-0 because of the every 5 minutes that they had.
Then they would have won then. So it wasn't 30-0 basically, and they just played the second half.
They would have probably won, but like they wouldn't have won by the amount that they did in this game. They had a 24-0 lead without snapping the ball once. So, I mean, that's a huge advantage. And if you are to blow that lead, that might be pretty trash if you do that. And they were able to not let – them get cold. They were on the wait for the team star players to show up. They were warming up and stuff like that. They wouldn't get cold. And then it worked out, and they scored a couple more times and they solidified the victory.
So is the worst part about all this, the two forfeits and showing up late, that team stars are actually good?
Team stars are actually good athletes, and they have the potential to be a good team if they show up on time, which hasn't been the case. I'm surprised they actually did show up, because they had three guys for the first 20 minutes of the after their 9 o'clock start. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, maybe these guys aren't going to show up. Then two of them showed up at the same time, and that's how they did it. They ended up getting another fourth guy showed up in between. So, yeah, if they show up on time, they could actually put up some points, and it doesn't look hard for them to put up those 16 points, and the Converse that they had were also pretty easy for them. So they have the potential to be a good team. They just got to get their shit together and find a way to make it to the game on time. That's it.
Steph, where can we find you next week? Which field are you at?
On Monday, I am in Papineau, and on Wednesday, I am in Brossard.
And if someone comes to see you and ask you a question, what do they want them to ask you?
What?
Give you $100? I say yes.
Okay, Steph, so right before we let you go, I have one last question. The burning question that's on everyone's mind. I feel like when you're a fat guy, you have a couple meals that prove I know how to be fat. So I had a couple. One was when I was living alone. And I would go out partying. I'd come back home, and I would just drop some chocolate chips inside of a jar of peanut butter. I would call it peanut butter surprise. And I would dig out with a spoon the chocolate chips out of the peanut butter. Another one is the lasagna grilled cheese sandwich. Also, after a night of
drinking. Lasagna grilled cheese sandwich. Okay.
It's genius. I got something in my eye.
What's wrong with your eye?
But can you give us what's your I don't want to be fat meal?
My I don't want to be fat meal would be deep fried.
I know how to be fat meal.
My ideal wannabe fat.
No, I know how to be. Like the food that you eat that you know is going to make you fat.
I know how to be fat. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, deep fried something that's already fried.
Calamari,
and I fry it even more under a different grease because
deep fried calamari.
Fried calamari, fry it more with more oil like that. It's greasier and it's worse for your health because I know how to be fat.
All right. Hey, thanks, Steph. That's about it. Thank you very much, sir. We'll get you back another time. Try not to call more people trash on your way to Papineau next time.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Ciao. So we're back alone. Just me, myself, and I. No, P's had problems with his eye. Yeah. You could see it during the interview.
I weirdly got something in the eye during the interview. I still feel it like resting on my retina. It's horribly uncomfortable.
It looked uncomfortable. You kept blinking.
Yeah. And then rubbing my eye vigorously. But that was Steph. I love his perspective on FBF.
It's great. Honestly, it's a one of a kind. I don't think he would make it in mainstream radio.
I don't see why not.
But it's pretty good.
Well, what it is he knows the game really well. And the thing is, like, he'll joke around and he has very dry sense of humor, but he'll follow it up with analysis, right?
But he understands what he's seeing and he doesn't really care what you think about what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's just going to say what he thinks without necessarily. A lot of people are afraid of other people's judgment, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to call you trash because then you could think I'm stupid and I don't want that.
He says he can be Howard Stern.
That's true. That's true. Howard Stern, no one's done Howard Stern to sports, right? So, I guess Jim Rome. Not really. Junkyard Dogs beat Voodoo 22-19. Is this a testament to Voodoo's defense, or is this just what Jason Rossi is sometimes?
I would go with this is just what Jason Rossi is sometimes. I spoke to Rob White from Junkyard Dogs last night. Yeah, Tuesday night. And I was asking him, what happened? How do you only win by 3 points against a team you guys should clearly beat by a handful? Junkyard Dogs should be one of the best teams in Tier 2, if not the best team. Voodoo is a good team, but they're really two divisions apart.
See, that's not how Stefano would refer to them, but go ahead.
I know. So, but I was confused and I asked him. Yeah, he has some moments where he plays down this competition. He makes a few mistakes. Your team isn't exactly what it was last spring. A few weeks ago. Yeah, a few weeks ago. He had Inslee Adams, he had Jonathan Williams. Now they're replaced by the two Dow brothers, Dylan Dow and Devin.
Yeah.
And it's a downgrade. Like, mm-hmm. they're not bad players, but it's a downgrade from what he had. And a few days before the season started, Rory Sumrugin and someone else was supposed to play with them and couldn't make it due to scheduling and whatnot. So you lose two of your potentially top players last minute on the team, and you're sort of scrambling to find new players. I think Junker Dogs just, we expected him to be stronger. The team's a little bit weaker than what we've expected him to be, grown them to know. And listen, I think it's going to be a good tier for them. They're going to be challenged a little bit more than some people might think. I thought they would roll through this tier and finish 10-0. There's a chance they might drop a game or two,
mm-hmm.
which isn't necessarily bad. If they finish 6-2 instead of 8-0, it's not the worst thing of all, right?
You were on their bandwagon to start the season. You were on the Bud Knights bandwagon. And
yes,
defense. So
I switched bandwagons. I'm on somebody else's now.
Yeah, but so what happened with Bud Knights? I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's in my article, but I'll let you.
Well, it's simple. They kept somebody to 0 points, which is very tough to do. So I was very happy with that. And now they allowed 20 points to Fresh Lungs, who I think they're still trying to find themselves. So sorry, Bud Knights. No longer a fan. I'm done.
So which bandwagon have you switched over to?
Jean-Guy.
Why is that?
Listen, Jean-Guy is completely underrated. We've been talking trash about Jean-Guy for
so
long.
They won this past week.
They won against Bruins.
25-13.
Bruins was probably the hottest team in their tier, in their respective tier. And Jean-Guy dismantled Bruins 25-13. I'm very happy to see that their defense got together. They're able to put up points. This is the Jean-Guy from a few years ago now, back when they had a couple of seasons back-to-back where they played well, and they were not necessarily the strongest team in their division, but they were able to compete. And then when they came back after, I think, was it 3 years apart, Jean-Guy is just not the same team, but they've got some good pieces there. And I think that they're in the right tier, and Jean-Guy should win some games, man. I think they're going to go 5-3, maybe 6-2.
We talked about Emil Lamy last week. This week he has 10 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Is this Christophe Chartrand making an active decision to use a more consistent short passing attack?
100%. I think they realize that he might not have the best arm and they're not the fastest guys. So we don't have to go deep every single play. 5-yard hooks every time works. You're going to get first downs the entire way and you're going to score. Use what works for you guys. You don't have to make... It doesn't need to be flashy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean-Guy has a good defense. As long as you score 4 times, you're going to win games.
Yeah.
Rely on that.
Mathieu Rimet, so was he an actual upgrade from Gab Wiseman? Or was he just a flash in the pan?
No, I think Mathieu Rimet is good. I mm-hmm. think it's a learning curve. You just faced a very good rusher. And Simon... I forgot your last name, sorry. The rusher from Jean-Guy.
Simon Laporte, I don't think, was there.
No. Jean-Guy has a good defense, always relies on a good rusher, mm-hmm. right? Maybe this
it
is
was
the
Marc Leroux this uh-huh. game.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the first time that Mathieu Rimet, as a quarterback for Bruins, faces a very good rusher, caught off guard. The first time it happens and you're not ready for it, it really frazzles you.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do, your plays don't work anymore, you're not able to progress through your reads, and by the time you realize what the real problem is, sometimes it's past halftime, it's too late to really get back in the game. I think this might be a little more of a testament to Jean-Guy's defense than Bruins really, like you said, one and done sort of thing.
We talked a lot of trash about Gab Wiseman being replaced for Bruins last week.
Done.
Now that Gab Wiseman watches this game, let's pretend it was nationally televised. He watches the game sitting at home. how does he celebrate? Do you think Gab Wiseman is more of a cigar and champagne or a fruity, unmanly, alcoholic beverage type guy?
The fruity. Like
Mai Tais, right?
Yeah, he's more of a Mai Tai guy. Yeah. He's not a champagne cigar guy. Although I could see, knowing him, I don't think he's laughing at home. I think he's the sort of guy that after the game will call up Mathieu Rimet and give him some plays, give him some tips. You could do this better. This could work
some
more.
Some plays that don't work. So the next week he loses again.
Oh, that would be great.
There's a little Simon Dagenet in everyone.
He's too nice for that.
So this brings us to 90 Seconds of Heat with Simon Dagenet. It's a terrible name. He named it. It's named after his skill in giving hot takes, but also his skill in making love with this girl. She's used to the 90 seconds of heat. This is the first time we're getting 90 seconds of heat. We're getting full, unadulterated, straight up Simon Dagenet takes for 90 seconds while I go clean up my eyes. So I won't even hear it the first one. Oh, I'll listen back to let you know what I think.
All right. So very simple music.
Yet. Hold on.
Well, how was I supposed to know? You said I was. Well, except one guy, the producer. All he's right. Trash.
We're going to get started in 3, 2.
Oh, I have to talk to him again. All right. Well, this music doesn't click along whatsoever. All right. Simple enough. There's this thing that's called social media, right? People don't seem to realize the strength of social media and what it can impact people's lives. So it's I was scrolling my newsfeed today, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you want, right? Whatever newsfeed you decide to scroll at. And all you see is people share these random things about their football team, about how, oh, somebody's car broke down, the news that no one really cares about because it doesn't really affect you anyways. Bunch of stuff like that. Bunch of shit that doesn't really matter in the end. And then when somebody that you know, a friend, a colleague, somebody's brother is trying to succeed in life as a business owner, a startup or something, needs your help to reach out to more people, you're too afraid to use a share button. Like, it's not complicated, man. It's right there. Why are people afraid and ashamed to use the share button to help somebody out? Be a friend. If you're nice enough and you care about the guy enough to have him on as a friend on Facebook, follow him on Instagram, why are you afraid to help him out? If sharing his post, whatever he's trying to say, could help him out, get him an extra sale on his business, or help him reach out to more people, why are we afraid to do that? Why, as human beings, are we shying away from helping each other and trying to help somebody that we know? You'll, up to an extent, you'll share somebody selling their house because you don't care about that stuff, but you won't share somebody's post saying, hey, I'm trying to help out other people. Be nicer, man. Help each other out. It's not complicated. It takes 7 seconds of your time. I started off late.
You're clearly a guy who sleeps through a snooze, huh?
100 times.
Thank you, Eagle, for cutting that off. It was just a lot of Simo. I don't even know what it was about. But I will say, though, this is something I want to explore more and more. I want people to get to know the real Simo so they can start to hate you a little more.
We're going to have followers after the show.
The thing is...
That was more like a societal type of rant.
Yeah.
I thought that was my thing.
The do-good message of the day, you know?
Oh. Yeah. Well, I had two opposite rants. The first one was very FBF related.
Give us the second one.
No, I will not. I will keep it for next week. No, I'm keeping it for next week.
You got to write you another one for next week.
Nope. I'm keeping it for next week.
The music started. You got to go.
Sorry, I can't do it.
You can't perform?
I cannot perform twice.
You can't go more than 90 seconds at a time. All right, fine. Thank you, Simo. That was short, and that's about all we could say about that. Speaking of, like, not having a lot to say, Eagle, do you have that clip you sent me earlier?
I do. Let me just go grab
that. Yeah, so there's a question about the upcoming Ottawa Senators season as a group of panelists.
Oh, the rebuilding year.
Yeah. Well, at least they admit it. We're in a situation where the Montreal Canadiens have been trying to be competitive while rebuilding, and it's not working. But... this is awesome clip that Eagle's getting ready to queue up.
And you ready?
Yeah, we go. You said I couldn't stop laughing if you sent it today.
What's the number one thing you're optimistic about in terms of the Ottawa Senators? We're a team.
That's it.
Pierre, what's the number one
thing? that's the one thing that you can be optimistic about. So the one thing I am optimistic about your rant every week is that it is short. So
it's a team.
It's a team. Given that, do the Hawks have any reason to be optimistic after they took on unknown talent and lost 37-14?
No. Well, okay. So there's two possibilities here. One, in the words of our famous Stefano Berardi, the Hawks are trash. Mm-hmm. Two, unknown talent is actually a very good team that we just don't know about. Because
they're unknown.
Yeah. And they're sort of rolling through competition. The same way in recent seasons, we had Air Force One Division Six, who really, you know, destroyed everybody on their way to the championship. I think this could be a very similar tale. Well, we have a team that's very good and unknown talent. We just don't know them, so we expect them to be one amongst others. Mm-hmm. And they're beating teams 37-14 like Hawks, and Hawks are just on the bad side of things.
For Hawks, I've gathered that Matt LeBlanc actually is the quarterback for the team.
Okay.
That was the plan going into the season. He's struggling, but is there even a receiver on this team that he can go to on key moments, like on third down, fourth down? Is there anybody you see who he can really go to?
Well, I think this is the sort of thing that needs a little bit more time to develop. There's this, they scored 14 points. They did score points, so it's not just that they get beat 40-0. So they're able to do a few things. I think their defense isn't exactly where they wanted it to be. Their offense is also struggling a little bit, as you mentioned. It's going to come down to who's that one guy that he feels he wants to go to. I think a lot of guys on this team are good enough to be, but it becomes a chemistry thing. One point in the first half is literally...
So
I'm just reading your script.
I know, because I lost it on my screen.
One point in the first half for the Hawks, literally the first time I've seen this. Me too.
I haven't seen it at all.
So, I've seen it very, very recently, but it's like a pick one. Like you just picked off a cover.
But that's the only score in the whole game is a pick one.
No, in the first half.
Oh, sorry. For entire half.
Yeah, that means they got like a pick six defensively on the convert, but couldn't score offensively. It's very weird to see.
You know what I found weird to see?
Bizarre.
Lockdown showing up with a potentially better roster. with Alex Lever, with Francois Lebeau.
A bunch of better quarterbacks.
Yes, but they played Pat Ryan, who's been good so far. First two games.
Yeah.
However, what is it about this game where they just couldn't get their offense going?
They couldn't do much. Honestly, there was a few bad plays. Pat Riot is really struggling. The rusher, honestly, I've never seen the rusher
Isaiah Allard
this impactful in a long time. Isaiah Allard?
He's a giant.
I know, but he got two pick sixes.
No. He got two interceptions. One wasn't a pick six, but one came down to like the 3-yard line or something.
First of all, a rusher that gets two interceptions alone is crazy impressive.
I've been intercepted twice by the rusher.
I think there was...
Eagle's also on that team.
Maybe it's Eagle.
Maybe it's his fault.
There's a bunch of PDs also. I haven't seen a rusher this impactful in a very long time. He really took the game over.
Within like two steps of a safety pretty much. Like literally like
he was that was a safety. I was on the line. That was a safety. Just poorly called. Also, you were down by 30 points.
Didn't matter.
Give the team a break. Yeah. But anyways, it remains that the rusher was very, very impactful. He destroyed Pat Ryan entirely by himself. The defense, they understood that if we take away the first read, the rusher is going to beat him afterwards. So we don't have to do crazy things. And they knew that.
Just jump the first route.
So they just stayed at 7 yards waiting for receivers to get to them. And then they just jump whatever first cut they would make. And then they knew the play wouldn't develop more.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out perfectly.
On offense, Isaiah Allard, 3 touchdowns. Sean Haney, another touchdown. Did Lockdown just not have the size to handle the two big receivers?
They were playing way too far back defensively. They had Francois Lebeau playing like the three, the middle safety, at, like 15 yards back for some reason.
Why?
I don't understand. It's not tackle football.
But why?
But and then you have tall guys like Isaiah Allard and Sean Haney. First of all, they didn't have the size to cover. If you get like, how's Ego going to cover Sean Haney? Like, he's literally like 6'4", and Ego is like 4'8". But
sure.
Dude, but that's being generous.
But it happened on one play where he, DeFazio threw it up to Sean Haney for, I think it was a third and long. And he caught it, and there was nobody that was able to reach that ball around him. It was too easy for them. And it really felt like higher division players beating down on lower division players. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like.
So we haven't done this yet this season because I pick my games in Francois Martin's article each week. But then I realized, why don't I just ask you and Eagle for your picks?
Fair.
We'll get some more picks up there. We don't actually ever revisit these, so if we're wrong, we never actually know. And if we're right, we just assume we're always right.
I can track them.
I mean, if you want.
Sure.
I could not.
Yeah, track them along with me and Francois' article. I'm just curious. And that brings us to the famous Games of the Week.
Games of the Week. Nice.
We'll start in Tier 4. MacDo take on Bruins. Give me the pick with literally one sentence as to why.
Bruins. Matsuyama bounces back.
Eagle.
MacDo, they're going to learn some more in their second game.
Bud Knights, Trailer Park Boys.
Bud Knights bounce back.
So you're going to say bounce back for every...
Maybe.
Okay.
Trailer Park Boys also bounce back.
So everyone's just bouncing back. So the Trojans bounce back against boing, Fresh Lungs boing, bouncing back.
Boing, boing. Sorry, I had Trojans against who?
Fresh Lungs.
No, give me Fresh Lungs to keep the streak alive.
The one game
back to back week.
The one game winning streak.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to go with Trojans on this one.
Thank you. Because?
Because I think cool. They're a really good team.
I'm going to sack Teen Stars. Will Teen Stars show up on time?
No. I'm going to sack gets their win right here.
Because of all the points they give it up.
Because it's going to be 24-0.
I'm going to go with Teen Stars. I think they're actually good.
Jean-Guy Lama's Pajamas.
It's easy. Jean-Guy.
Because? Bias.
Bandwagon, baby.
I'm going to go with Jean-Guy until October 17th.
replacements, Rosas.
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good game, actually.
Give me Raw Sauce. I think the new Plount connection with Yam and Thomas is going to be... It's going to be good. It's going to be something we're going to keep track of for a few weeks.
My heart wants replacements. My mind says Raw Sauce.
Your stomach would not say Raw Sauce, however. Los Bandidos against the Hawks. Tier 3.
Los Bandidos, man. I like that defense.
I'm going to go with Hawks on this one.
Dream Breakers, Supernovas.
Supernovas. I like what they did last week.
I don't know either of these teams, so Dream Breakers.
It's good analysis. Expert analysis. Fake it till they make it? Nope. X-Men against EZW.
Ooh, EZW, X-Men has not been playing great this season.
I'm going to go with X-Men over scheming. I don't think EZW knows how to game plan.
Los Avocados versus Bulldogs.
Give me Bulldogs. Los Avocados really lost it for me last week. That game on, Tuesday.
I'm going to go with Avocados.
Okay. Unknown talent, broken ankles. Some guys you know against some guys you don't know.
Unknown talent. I think they're actually much better than we give them credit for.
Trust the Bacalani.
What?
No, not Bacalani. It's the what's his name?
Barazzi?
Yes, that's the
Baratoni?
One.
Baratoni? Baratoni?
You have to frame first name. I mix them up now, yeah. So, unknown talent.
Warriors versus Grabouge.
Give me Grabouge, I think. Really? Yeah, I think Alexandre Lemire is going to have back-to-back good weeks. He made some nice plays. A lot of drops last week, and they still put up 38.
I don't think Warriors are the same. Give me Garbage.
All right, we go on to Tier 2. Mean Machine take on Lockdown. Eagle, don't pick.
This is actually a rematch of the finals from last year's Adriano Tassone Bowl.
Okay.
Mean Machine. Mean
Who won
machine.
That one?
Mean Machine by 3.
And what's going to happen this time?
Mean Machine.
Because?
By 14.
All right. Le'Veon La Vida Loca. Against Outlaws.
I really didn't want to pick Le'Veon La Vida Loca because it's a stupid name. This ain't fantasy football.
I hate you.
But they're going to win
Nick,
anyways.
Choose a better name, buddy.
Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's the other guys.
No, I blame him entirely. he's the kind of douchebag who chooses that kind of name.
Yeah,
it's true. He thinks it's clever. It's the worst part. Yeah. Les Flamants Fous versus Pigeon Squad.
Les Flamants Fous. You wrote a few weeks ago that they're underrated.
They're good. There's things you can do against them. But the sheer talent of the team is exceptional.
Yeah, agreed. Flamo Fu.
Voodoo against Diablos.
Oh, Diablos. It's going to be another one of those weeks where François Martin is way too loud for himself.
Voodoo has a hard time playing from behind Diablos.
All right. Greendale Human Beings, One Speed Power. Can I stay home?
GHB, man.
Yeah.
It's
times
a,
two.
It's
yep.
a good team.
Times three. SWAT versus Junkyard Dogs.
I think it's the first time you pick against your own team.
Yeah, well, I wasn't happy seeing that on the schedule.
You know what? I'm picking. I think Junkyard Dogs is going to lose this one. I'm picking SWAT.
No, I'm going Junkyard Dogs. SWAT are schemable.
All right. The internet's slow. Sweat and Beers against STL.
There's a lot of teams. STL. I know. Sweat and Beers is not a Division I team.
Keyport Lockstars against FPF All-Stars. Do they keep the streak going?
No, Wyatt wins. FPF All-Stars is a very loaded team.
So
I'm sorry.
This is an interesting one for me. If really? Rosenblatt plays with QB, I think it's a slow game, and I think All-Stars still win by a significant amount. Mm-hmm. If Rod plays as QB, I think All-Stars still win, but I think it's much tighter.
So either way, you pick FPF All-Stars?
Yes, but it's one game's going to be a blowout. The other one's going to be tight.
8.5 points?
8.5?
Yeah.
Ooh, 8.5.
50?
No, I think there's, at this point, we've talked so much about Keyport Lock Stars that F.F. Foster is actually going to care, mm-hmm. that they're going to drop 50 on him.
So you're nothing in spread.
So it's going to be 50 to 26. It's going to be a beatdown.
So are you taking the favorite or the underdog for 50?
For 8.5?
Yeah.
8.5, I'm taking the favorites.
Right.
I'm taking FPF All-Stars.
If
you would have told me 15.5, I might have reconsidered. But
Lebron Lazar versus hashtag NR.
Hashtag NR.
Hashtag NR.
Lebron Lazar are overrated. It's the FPF,
hashtag.
It's the FPF veteran bias.
I agree. And also, I think I didn't like them from week one. They were impressive week two, but still shaky.
I think there's something there, but it won't last 10 weeks.
Yeah, I think 8 weeks. Or the 10 playoffs. Totally, yeah, that's true. I think, though, they might end up in a situation that the Braves were in last year, that they just fall down into the right bracket where they can win.
They would be better off in the second bracket than the first one.
The unhashtagged Free Vinny versus Lightweight.
Chargers Free Vinny? Yeah. Oh, they're going to try.
I'm going to refer them as unhashtagged.
And they're playing Lightweight?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going 0-4. Yeah. We're going 0-4, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Free Vinny.
And they're mad about last game, too. It's the worst
thing. Oh, it's going to be so bad.
The Braves Conspiracy Game of the Week.
Braves conspiracy.
It's not actually game of the week. I think it's best game of the week.
Well, if Josh Gagliardi and Jonathan Marrero didn't retire,
yeah,
then I'm picking Braves.
We're assuming no retirement
because also Dan Lazar can't beat Jonathan Marrero for some reason. But then if they did retire, then I can't really pick them because they won't have a quarterback.
They're not retiring, Braves.
You don't know that.
Dirty Dogs 2HD.
2HD. Joey Taylor played well, man.
Joey Taylor's a good quarterback.
I know, but like the team.
Why does this keep surprising
people?
No, but
people? It's not Joey. It's the when I looked at this roster, mm-hmm. I was unimpressed at all. I think this is just a mashed up of names that played FPF before. That whoever wants to play with Joey, sort of thing. Seeing them play this week against us, and the previous week sort of went with that mentality that it's not a great team. Seeing how they played this week, there's not a lot of deep plays. But Danny D'Amour is the perfect receiver for... Mm-hmm. Danny D'Amour, Dom Benevento, perfect receivers for
Joey.
Yeah,
I like Dom Benevento.
Sivag and Matthew Rupsik are perfectly used in that offense. I like 2AG this season.
Dirty Dogs have 33 points, 4 in 3 games. 2HD will have more than that in 1 game. So
that's also
2HD.
True. Final thoughts, Simo?
I'm... It's weird that he picked almost every single game the opposite of what I did.
He did that on purpose.
I know.
It's content.
And then he stopped at like tier one and just picked the exact same thing as I did. So that's sort of boring.
Final thoughts, Eagle.
Remember, everyone, the playoff schedule is upline. Upline, offline. It's online. On the internet.
Upline.
It's upline. So
check that out. If you haven't seen it yet, it's in the captain's email. It's on the Facebook wall. And it's on the playoff tab.
Just strap it on.
Upline.
Towercast.
So, am I going for one, going for two this week? I'm going to go for one because there's a fair chance I might get emotional. If it happens, it won't be because I got something in my eye this time, unfortunately. It's already happened to me this show, so no one's going to believe it happened the second time.
Twice in an hour, really?
Yeah. A post came up earlier today that kind of shook all of us. I don't know if it's apparent. I haven't been myself tonight. None of us have. Except for Eagle, he's always this trash. But a close and personal friend of ours made an admission about his life and told the world about some things that were going on in his life that have impacted him a great deal. I don't want to go into too much detail. For those of you who know who it is, it's fairly obvious who it is. We've all done our best to reach out to him today because it's. He's an important person to us, and to me, as close as this FPF family to me is as close as it gets to my actual family. So seeing him go through that is particularly difficult, and it's hard to be sitting 3 feet away from someone for literally years at this point and know that at any point you could have done something to make their life better. So my goal for one this week is just take a look at people important to you and offer help even if you don't know that they may or may not need it. Just always be there for the people closest to you. And thank you, Simo, for joining me. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, thank you, Eagle, for the terrible bang up job you've done tonight. The bang down job.
Bang down, I like
bang down. And most of all, thank you all for letting me be myself.